Labour Regulations. The most original expression of Thomas Butter's organisational skills are his labour regulations and direct written orders addressed to particular members of the staff and concerning specific matters. They are contained in 8 volumes. Reading them, we can follow how he was mastering his constantly growing tasks and what was his method of educating his collaborators. His intellectual strength, the thoroughness of his reasoning, his knowledge of the subject, as well as of the people, and his strong personal outlook on life are displayed in these regulations. We can publish here, of course, only those of the most general interest. They are a perfect proof that the exemplary order in the factory and in the town, as well as the constantly improved work in the entire enterprise, were not incidental or accidental, but a result of good reasoning. How did Thomas Butter elaborate his labour regulations? He dictated some of the longer ones, but most of them were written spontaneously, whenever and wherever he considered it necessary to act. In his 1927 address to the Prague technical experts, he described his working method in the following way. Let us prepare ourselves for this work in the best and most efficient way. Look at this pencil, fixed on a chain. It is much faster to get hold of an attached pencil, and utilizing this way, you would save thousands of seconds a day. This small, loose-leaf mechanical notepad would also greatly enhance your efficiency. Thanks to these 2 uncommon helpers, you will retain every idea, even one occurring to you while working high on a chimney or inside a sewer drain. In the following regulations, we are only giving the initial of the person to whom it was addressed. In the original, full names and number of people concerned were always given. Power plant. Mr. B. Your smokestacks are smoking from 6 to 7 a.m., just as it was happening before my notice. I have found out that you are coming to work shortly before 7 a.m., which, of course, deprives you of the possibility to see it with your own eyes. The fact is that in a power plant, things happen exactly the same way as with feeding the livestock. As long as the farmer is lying in bed when the stable boy is feeding the horses, it is indeed unnecessary that he spend later all the day at the field. The boss. The 7th of September 1931, Purchasing Department, Mr. C. An old proverb tells us that a good farmer may be recognized by his manure pile. What a manure is to the farmer, waste, scrap, and reprocessable material is for the industrialist. The entire future of industry depends on the reprocessing of raw materials. You may best judge yourself what kind of an economist you are when you visit your scrap storage room. You cannot make responsible for the handling and utilization of your scrap your day laborers. They are not aware that every kilogram of upper cowhide scrap contains 20% of grease. At 4 Czechoslovakian crowns, that is 80 heller in a kilogram, and that such scrap may still be used in several ways. They do not know that you do not make use of 2 existing degreasing stations. They also do not know that when the grease is removed from such upper leather scraps, an extract remains which can be utilized as fertilizer. The day labourer cannot negotiate that somebody work it out for us in wages, in case that you can now do all these things. He cannot decide to sell that waste when there is no chance we would process them ourselves. As a specialist, you should know all this, and it is entirely your responsibility to avoid wasting material. The day laborers who are putting away or would later utilize your waste should be your best confidence, able to tell you which workshop the scrap comes from. You could then take a standpoint to it. I wish you would look at that scrap today and return this letter to me at 2 p.m. with a remark what measures you took in this matter and what will be done in the future. Otherwise, you will be made responsible for all the losses incurred by not utilizing this waste. The Boss. The 12th of November, 1931. Thomas Butter was a non-smoker. The more interesting, therefore, is this regulation. Mr. H. There is always a line at the tobacco shop. People enter and exit by the same door. Provide at least for another exit. The Boss. The 16th of August, 1931. Mr. K. At the most recent control of the new department store, I could find neither drinking water nor salt at the tables in the dining room. The Boss. The 27th of October, 1931. Power plant, gas works, railroad. Messrs. Z, B, and D. Apologies should be extended for any breakdown in the power plant, gas works, or on the railroad. Mr. B did not apologize for the electric power breakdown last month. The same applies for the railroad. If the wagons are not heated, the train is late and misses the connection with the main line, etc., it is necessary to apologize. The gas works as well. Last Sunday, our cook could not cook dinner. The reasons for it should be examined. The Boss. The 10th of November, 1931. Housing Department. Mrs. S. The Housing Department has to fulfill its duties perfectly. The department's scope of work and duties have to be constantly extended. I hear, for instance, that people do not know how to use the aerial central heating. The department, however, has so far neglected to name an instructor who would, at the beginning of winter, make the rounds of all the homes using this type of heating and instructed the inhabitants. Such inspection rounds should be done several times a year, and the instructor should keep the entire operation under control. This applies as well to all other installations, and particularly to the new gas system. The Boss. The 1st of June, 1931. The Municipality. Mr. Zett, your streets are very dirty today. How does your sweeping machine work? Do you know how to operate it yourself? I have seen whole gangs of gypsies near the slaughterhouse. Find out if the slaughterhouse makes deals with them or gives them some garbage. Try to prevent both. The Boss. The 2nd of November, 1931. The Municipality. P.R. Today I met behind the garages two policemen, Anthony S. and Frank P. They were talking in the middle of the road so far from each other that a third man could have easily walked between them. They were walking toward the garages. I was driving in the direction of town and was particularly unable to pass them. Although they made way for my car, their movements indicated clearly how much they resented to do so. their behavior revealed their intention to show the employee their authority. Our police force must be educated in a completely different way. They have to realize they are paid to serve the public and not to manifest their power for the sake of their own satisfaction. We fully agree if they use their authority in the service of the public, but we strongly oppose any display of power for purely personal reasons. The boss. The 4th of November, 1931. The municipality. P.R. I made the observation that you are switching on the streetlights at 7 p.m., although at 5 p.m. it is already dark. You have even switched on the main streetlights that late recently. In case of more extensive regulations stipulating long-range obligations, Thomas Butter presented them in the form of a contract where the tasks and compensation of the contracting parties and the methods of accomplishing them were clearly indicated. How precisely did Thomas Butter pursue this method may be seen from a contract with his own son, cited below. This contract is interesting from other points of view as well. It shows the original and democratic way of planning the education of his son as well as of all the young men in Zlín. Although addressing his own son, Butter drew the contract in a very formal, businesslike way, as if dealing with any other contractant.